A new sound, a new look, and a whole new way to bring you everything Buffalo Bills. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker and the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, bring you One Bills Live. Weekdays noon to 3 right here on the home of the Bills, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get to Rochester sports icon. 13 Wham sports director Mike Catalana in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mike, how you doing?
Just well, fellas. How's it going with you?
Well, we're trying to put in perspective what we're seeing on the football field. Mike, since you arrived in Rochester, is this the worst Bills team? I mean, I guess the defense would say no, but it's hard for me to imagine. I'm thinking back to the first year, Greg Williams, that was 3-13, mid-80s. I mean, what say you as far as the state of the Buffalo Bills today?
All right, so I came here at the end of 87. It was right when the run was starting in 88. And from 88 to basically 98, they were either a great team or a very good team all the way through that. And then you had Flutie there for a while. I mean, we know what's happened during the drought, but I used to get frustrated with people when they would say, oh, the Bills stink every year. I said, no, the problem is the Bills are mediocre right every year. And that's what left them in this position. And, of course, they picked the wrong year to be just atrocious. In terms of maybe for draft picks, I mean, yes, you always want high draft picks, but offensively, it is the worst I've ever seen. I don't even think it's close. I said to you guys at the beginning of the year that the wide receiver position was the weakest of any position group I'd ever seen going into the year, and I was hoping we'd be surprised. We haven't been surprised. In fact, it's been even worse than I would have thought it would have been. And then you add in the inept quarterback play. And this would be different if it was all Josh Allen and it was all the rookie. And I guess maybe that's the one saving grace to say, well, at least it hasn't been all Josh Allen, because I don't think there's any question he's been the best of their quarterbacks, which is not saying a whole lot. So you look at it and say it's an abysmal offense in an era now where offenses are walking up and down the field in most NFL games. Mm-hmm. To be this bad and to really just decimate your franchise at the moment. Yes, I would say they're in the running as the worst team I've seen during my period of time. People have been around longer than me and remember the teams more in depth when they were really bad in the 80s. But it's a different game now, and they are way behind on that game.
Mike Catalana, 13 Wham sports director, joining us here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. If Josh Allen was in there, I don't know that the outcome would be any better, but at least the rookie would be getting reps and would be able to develop towards a future. I mean, I hate thinking about the end of the season already, Mike, and what could be at the end of the season, but I know that if it continues down this path, you know, you're going to want to hold somebody accountable. I just don't know that turning over any of this staff is the best move long-term for this organization. What about you?
Yeah, well, I think if you're Brian Daboll, I was thinking about the guy. And I said, man, last year he's at Alabama, so he's got a great quarterback, and then he's got a superstar on the bench. They outman every team they play, and they go on and win a national championship. And then this year he comes to Buffalo, and think about it. His biggest thought probably was, I got to focus on a rookie. We're going to bring this kid in. And we'll see where it goes from there. And look at what his season has been. I know it's easy to criticize him because you say, what's the coordinator doing? I don't, you know, go pretend any other scheme you want. Scheme with who? They have no run after the catch ability. Even when you look at Nate Peterman's throws. Nate Peterman's not a good quarterback. He's young, too. I mean, he has limited experience. He's just been, his results have been probably the worst in NFL history to this amount of snaps that he's taken in the league. But he's still a young quarterback. But look what's around him. Look what's around him on the offensive line. They can't run the ball. They've turned LeSean McCoy into a nobody on this franchise, and they have nothing at the wide receiver position. We're encouraged when we see Zay Jones make a few plays in a game. I mean, that's what it's gotten down to. So you want to blame Brian Daboll? Go ahead. They'd be on their fourth coordinator in 4 years. Now, that being said, I don't know. You know, what they do at quarterback coach, wide receiver coach, there could be some other positions. Maybe you give Daboll a little more autonomy on that and to help him with what he wants to implement. But, I mean, we're talking historically bad offense, and someone will pay. I mean, you're not going to come back with all the same coaches. I just don't see that happening. But I don't know if we're going to pin it on Brian Daboll with what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have put out there as this team's offense. Because one other quick thing, guys, The offense that started the game yesterday is basically the offense that started the season, except for Pryor. Add Pryor in there. So it's not like they've had all these crazy injuries. Josh Allen is hurt, but he wasn't the starter when the season started. So this is what you brought into the year, and this is how bad it is.
And this is self-imposed. I mean, you can't pay for talent on the offensive line. You can't pay for talent at skill positions when you have the kind of dead money that they went into this season with. And they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, here's what I would say. They have handled the quarterback position as poorly as any group. I mean, and we've had the Browns in the NFL, so look at what the Browns have done. But as poorly as you could, you know, they spent money. And, you know, I mean, let's look at Vontae Davis. Right? It was a failed signing. And I pin the retirement and the way he did it on Vontae Davis himself. And I know it's an easy shot at the Bills. But the guy couldn't play, didn't want to play, and he eventually retired. But they gave him a contract for $5 million. You know, I like Star Lotulelei. I think he is a very good player at what he does. But they spent money on him. Like, they did not think to go out and spend any sort of money on a veteran quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Fitzpatrick, whoever it was that you wanted to. I guess it was A.J. McCarron, and then they cut him before the first game. And look at what has happened. Then you go with two quarterbacks. It's a disaster. You're signing emergency. You've had two emergency quarterbacks, basically, for the year, all based on an injury to one guy, a rookie, and the incompetence of another guy, a second-year player. So this is pinned squarely on McDermott and Bean. And they know it, and I'm hoping that's what Terry Pegula is saying to them. If I'm Terry Pegula, the meeting I'm having with them is after next week's game. It's the bye week. It's a chance to sit down and go, what's the plan? What are we doing? Already looking ahead to next season.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana, our guest. Here's my concern that Nate Peterman, all right, nothing more can be said about him, but the coach, the GM, they thought this was a good guy. They were that off the mark in their evaluation. Mike, I can't help but question if they're off the mark here with Josh Allen, too. That if they don't know how to think that Peterman is the answer, then
yeah,
Allen...
Yeah, that could be the case. But Nate Peterman was never expected to be any more than a stopgap. And I think their part was what they didn't put around him. And I didn't quite understand the idea of going with Peterman at the beginning of the year, other than them thinking he was going to be a safer pick. And I think they thought it was for a short period of time. Josh Allen may not be good. We don't know that. First of all, Brandon Bean didn't draft. He didn't draft Nate Peterman. Obviously, he wasn't with the organization when they drafted Peterman. But he certainly was on board with Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. And Josh Allen at least has shown some flashes of good play. I mean, obviously, just look at the Minnesota game alone. He looked competent in that game. There's every reason to question their ability to identify offensive players when you look at what they're doing offensively. Like, you know, again, in terms of bringing guys in, that's why I say the defense has had to adjust a lot, right? They've had injuries to corner, guy retired, whatever it is they've had to do, injuries, safety position, let Marlowe come in and play well. They know what they're doing on defense. I mean, you know, the Bears have 165 yards or whatever it was yesterday. They do know what they're doing on defense, but it's 2018 in the NFL. That's great. That only works if you have an offense to take advantage of it. And they have not shown the ability to either draft or sign players that can make a true impact on the offensive side of the ball. Again, go to Zay Jones. I mean, again, you could be a little encouraged by a little flashes, but it's going to be the end of year two, and he's better than year one, but that isn't saying a lot.
I don't know that we're going to hear who the starting quarterback on Sunday is going to be at Sean McDermott's press conference at 4, Mike, but I have a feeling it's not going to be Derek Anderson. You tell me how you feel, but just based on the idea that, one, he's coming out of concussion protocol, and two, the last image I'll have of Derek Anderson in his Bills uniform is veering to the right when he had a chance to stop Devin McCourty from a pick six, almost as if to say, you know what, this is a business decision.
Yeah,
I don't really want to be doing this anymore. You know, I have a very bad feeling that Nathan Peterman might be starting again on Sunday against the New York Jets.
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance Peterman starts on Sunday. And I would think that once Josh Allen is healthy and Matt Barkley gets another week in the system, I'm guessing the two quarterbacks two quarterbacks could be on their way off the roster, and that might very well be, you know, Derek Anderson. My guess is you may see them put him on IR, whatever it is. Unless I'm really going to be surprised, and they're going to come out and say Derek's cleared and he's practicing and they're going to play him, I guess that could happen. I think Anderson signed up to be that guy for Josh Allen, and look how that blew up. Then he's on the field, he's getting beaten up. And on his best day, he was a mediocre quarterback.
Yeah.
Honestly, and I know this, that people will probably laugh when I say this, I actually believe Nate Peterman gives him a little better chance than Derek Anderson does.
What about
go ahead. And that is saying, not saying much, because obviously we've seen what Nate Peterman has done.
I'm willing to look at door number three here.
Barkley,
what's Barkley? I mean, does he get a chance here after the bye, perhaps, if Allen isn't ready?
I get that's certainly a possibility, because now he would have another week and then would have the bye week to get himself more acclimated. But, you know, we're not bringing back Brett Favre here, guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These guys who are playing are mediocre at best and backups. I just think in terms of what they have, Allen is the only guy we know is going to be back next year. And as bad as Peterman, if that was the first game Nate Peterman had ever played, I don't think people would be killing him for the turnovers. And he was terrible. That's what I'm saying, is the bar is so low at the quarterback position for the Bills right now that I looked at and I thought, I thought Anderson was worse. If you look at a lot of the passes yesterday, he put a lot of – even the interceptions, all of them could very well have either been caught or, at worst case, been incomplete. The worst pass thrown on the day was by Trubisky when he threw the interception. I don't know what he was looking at there. Now, obviously, he didn't make any other real mistakes. But I'm saying is the bar is so low at the moment that I don't know what he's going to do. But to Gene's point, I don't have a particularly great amount of faith in the decision-making. And I do think that he does at some point have to just pull the plug on Peterman and just realize that if this guy has any future in the NFL, I believe it's going to be in another city.
He is 13 WAM Sports Director Mike Catalana. Good with his time in joining us here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. We went into the season thinking, well, you know what, our offense might stink, but at least we've got LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
Is this LeSean McCoy trying to do too much? Is this defense is keying on LeSean McCoy, knowing that the quarterback isn't going to beat them? I mean, what do you think about LeSean McCoy's lack of productivity this season, Mike?
Well, I'll pin a little bit on McCoy, because his style, dancing around, trying to find a spot, you don't see a lot of that in the NFL at the moment, right? I mean, when teams are running the ball, it's a lot of quick hitters and it's going. And you've seen a little bit of success they had was with Ivory. Now, I haven't gotten an update today on Ivory, but that didn't look good.
Yeah.
McCoy hasn't done that. And in fairness to McCoy, I saw some people ripping him for not talking. Look, McCoy has been great talking to the media, good, bad, and different. He has actually been a good teammate on the field. I was joking. I said, he supported, you know, Tyrod, supported Nate, went back to Tyrod, supported Josh Allen, supported Peterman again, supported Anderson, supported Peterman again. Like, what do you expect the guy to do? And I absolutely believe that guy thought or hoped he was going to get traded and got an opportunity. And then not only do they not trade him, because I was there Monday night in the locker room, he did not say, I mean, he's the captain of the team, he did not say, I want to be traded, whatever. Clearly frustrated. Trading deadline goes by. I don't know why Brandon Bean's saying he's part of the deal for next year, because I don't think that's good for McCoy. I don't think it's good for the Bills. So I'm not exactly sure what the idea is. It's like he's being held captive here, like they want to hold on to him. He's frustrated, but he hasn't done that. The whole time he's been here, he really hasn't done that, playing on an atrocious offense. Is he done? I mean, there's always a possibility that he's done. We could see him somewhere else and he doesn't do anything, but I still see flashes out of him to think, man, get him out there, get him somewhere in space, get him in a team that's obviously better on the O-line and has a respected passing game, and tell me if he can play. And I I actually, as a football player for him, I feel badly for him to be part of this team right now.
Mike, I worry about his technique. I worry that they're leaving him alone so much that he's developing bad habits. And every time he has the ball in his hands, I shouldn't even say his hands, I should say his hand, because I feel like that's just an invitation for a defender to just swat it out of his hand the way he's been running. Has he always, had that style. Has he always had that?
Absolutely.
Or maybe maybe I'm seeing him run to the outside, and I'm maybe used to seeing running backs, run it up the gut or off tackle and protect the football a little bit more than what we've been seeing out of McCoy.
It's funny. You know, when he fumbled it earlier this year and he was in the pile and the ball came out and he made this point of like, I'm going to protect the ball. You're going to see me. And I you know, guys know I do that show with Fred Jackson, and Fred started laughing. He's like, that's not shady. That's not what he does. And he's back. He has the ball out there. It's funny. That's not when he gets. Last year, he had one fumble last year where he had the ball way outside. That has always been. Sometimes he just holds it in one hand. And you would never teach a player to do that. You would never want a player to do that. But that's the way he plays. And he's not the turnover problem.
Right.
It's the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. You know, again, he may be done. I don't know. He is. I think next year's offense, Josh Allen is back, Deion Dawkins is back, Zay Jones is back. After that, you let me know who you want back for next year, because I don't know if anybody would be thought of highly enough that you would say, oh, definitely that guy's coming back next year.
Well, does McCoy, does he try to work his way off the roster this offseason?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think. Yes. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I've always thought that McCoy is the type of guy that clearly has his sights set on the Hall of Fame. And right now, he's over 10,000 for his career. That's not enough. He needs at least two more years of productivity. He's not going to get that here, I don't think.
Yeah, no. And he doesn't have the other part. Now, look, running backs are different than other positions. But he doesn't have the other part. He doesn't have the big playoff games. He doesn't have the championship. He doesn't have any of that. He's been a very good running back. But I do believe he'd end up being in the Hall of Very Good unless he gets an opportunity to do more for somebody. Could it be with the Bills next year? Yeah. I mean, things could change. They could have a much better offense next year, signing players, better line, all that. Or he could just end up on another roster next year. And then we don't know about the off-the-field stuff. You know, we've seen this happen before where the NFL punishment comes a year later. I find it hard to believe with the way this year has gone, with the way his career has gone at this point, that he's going to want to be back or that they're going to want him back. And I don't know what kind of offers they got at the trade deadline, but it doesn't appear it was anything worthwhile for them to go and make the move. And I don't exactly know what the plan is going forward with McCoy.
Mike, Vegas has made it known what their thoughts are on the Buffalo Bills. 7.5-point underdogs for Sunday against the Jets. The Jets. I mean,
you know, I said this week, the Bears should never be double-digit favorites on the road against anybody. They're a good team, but they're not an explosive offensive team. And 10 points on the road is a lot for any team. But they were, and they covered easily. The Jets should not be 7.5-point favorites on anybody, but they are. And I don't know how. I mean, Darnold obviously imploded this week. I didn't obviously get a chance to see the game being at the Bills. I saw some of the highlights, and he had a tough day. Their offense stinks. That's a team. Again, what did we talk about before? Defensive head coaches with young quarterbacks. It is a failure waiting to happen. I would not be stunned to see a new head coach with the Jets. Not be stunned to see a new head coach even after 1 year with the Cardinals, and McDermott on notice, not necessarily on the hot seat or anything, but come on, you're going into year three, second year with a quarterback, he's gonna be facing a lot of pressure.
I look at the
Jets and I say, you've got your young quarterback. They don't look like they have any idea what they're doing on offense either.
I can understand that, and I think that everybody looks at what they've done in Los Angeles with McVay, and you know, you could certainly look back at what happened with Peyton Manning when he came to the league, and his second year, you know, you get Tony Dungy working with him, it's a little bit better. But is there something to be said for the continuity of knowing who you're working with, knowing the system that you're learning? I mean, could you make that change in New York? I mean, while keeping your offensive coordinator, it happens so rarely where you're able to keep a coordinator when you're switching out head coaches.
Well, look at what they tried to do in Tampa. So they kept Dirk Cutter, made him the head coach.
Yeah.
And that place is a dumpster fire. Outside of the Fitzmagic moment,
yeah.
I mean, it's obviously not worked out for Winston, and it's been terrible. I just look at it and say, whether it's the right move or the wrong move, it still depends on the guy. Like, not every offensive guy is the right guy to make the move to, but somebody's got to take care of that quarterback. Somebody's got to make it their project, and the Bills just haven't. Look at what they've done with their quarterbacks. I mean, I saw the Instagram thing with EJ.
Yeah.
And when you look at the numbers, it's almost kind of comical. Now, EJ had more talent on the team around him, and certainly Tyrod had more talent on the team around him at wide receiver. But those guys didn't turn the ball over at the alarming rate that these guys have. So I wonder going forward what their plan is going to be offensively. And again, is it Brian Daboll? Even Brian Daboll, he's back and McDermott's back and everybody's back. It's going to be the second year, and then everything's on the table again. So 7.5-point underdogs, huh? That's rough going to the Jets, a Jets team that's almost as bad as the Bills.
Mike Catalano, 13 WHAM. What are you guys working on tonight?
A little bit more on, honestly, on the blame that goes around for this. And as we've talked here a little bit about, in terms of blaming Nate Peterman, blaming the offense, I put the blame, as I'm saying to you guys, I put the blame at the top, and I'm waiting to hear more ownership of that. Sean McDermott has been very respectful of his players. He doesn't ever like to criticize his individual players, and I get that. But I want to hear more accountability from Sean McDermott about himself. And he pushes away when the question is brought to him about how he's handled the quarterback position. I think if you took a survey around the NFL and asked general managers and coaches about the way that's been handled in Buffalo, and it was anonymous, he would get crushed in a survey, because I think they all know it's been handled very poorly. And that's what I want to see. I want to see a little change. I want to see, you can be guarded for your players, but he needs to take more ownership individually. So I'll be curious as to what happens today when he has his news conference. I don't expect a lot of that. I don't expect a quarterback to be named for this week. Like, it really, and you know what's funny about that? We talk about the betting line. The Bills are the one team in the league. You could start Barkley. You could start Peterman. You could start Anderson. You could bring Allen back. I don't think it moves the line very much. Yeah. What's the line going to be? 7.5 to 8, 8 to 7? I mean, whatever. Who would make it go up? Who would make it go down? I don't know what difference it would make. And we're going to hear from Dino Babers.
Yes.
Dino today.
Love it.
How about Syracuse? How about the football team ranked higher than the basketball team? And I think the basketball team is going to be really good this year. So good for Dino. It's a shame a couple of those games got away. But good for him. Good for SU fans. They can at least be excited about their team. They got a big game coming up Friday. So we'll hear from Dino, too. How's that?
Mike, you're the best. We always appreciate when you give us some of your time here in the sports bar.
Fellas, enjoyed it. And I would say trust the process. But we got to figure out what the process is before we can trust it.
Well, we believe that they have a plan, right? We believe that they have a plan. They've been selling us that hope for a while, haven't they, Mike?
Well, they're going to get it. It looks like they'll get one last chance at it. So let's see if they really do have a plan. But the feet need to be held to the fire, and we'll see what happens going forward.
Appreciate your time, as always, Mike. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right, you too, guys.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalano joining us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Who says McDermott on notice?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Speaking of McDermott, he's going to speak to the media here shortly after 4 o'clock. He's scheduled to start speaking at 4, but as we've learned here through the course of time over this season, that, you know, it's usually McDermott time usually means 4:10, 4:15, right around there. So let's take a break here. Come back with that Sean McDermott press conference. We'll also have some provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. We like to play I'll Drink to That, and maybe instead of, we'll just throw some of those thoughts out there, Gene, just do a little quick roundtable discussion between you and I.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Got plenty of thoughts from the weekend.
All right, that's all on the way next. Here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best-sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.